This is the Hack Your Wealth Podcast, episode 55. Welcome to the Hack Your Wealth Podcast, where we teach wealth building hacks for lawyers, engineers, and MBAs. I'm your host, Andrew Chen. All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Hack Your Wealth Podcast. Today is election day for the U.S. presidential election. And so what I wanted to talk about today was some of the key tax changes being proposed by Vice President Biden and how that might impact your personal finances and tax planning, and maybe some things you might consider doing about it should Biden be elected president. Before we get to the details of that, I want to invite you to join the private Hack Your Wealth Facebook group, as I always do. You can get there by going to hackyourwealth.com/FB. And that's a private discussion group for us to connect, have a two-way dialogue. I'm in there every single day. I try to respond to everything. And you can ask about all matters related to financial independence, early retirement, tax strategies, real estate investing, side hustles, career transitions, or just advice about personal finance in general. I certainly engage in there frequently, as do other members of the group. So definitely encourage you to join us there, hackyourwealth.com/FB. Okay, before we jump into the details of Biden's proposed tax changes, I want to first just set the right expectations that it's not enough for Biden to win the presidency. That alone doesn't mean major tax changes to the tax laws are coming. There'd actually have to be a number of things that happen in combination. So he's got to win the presidency. Democrats would have to regain control of the Senate. So they'd have to win at least three seats compared to what they currently have. They'd have to also keep the caucus together by making sure that any tax changes proposed are acceptable to nearly all Senate Democrats, despite potential competing interest from various interest groups. And tax reform would actually have to be a pretty high priority on the list of policy goals that an incoming Biden administration would want to accomplish, because, you know, every incoming administration has finite political capital with which to get things done. And it takes time to pass legislation, not to mention, you know, a potential Biden administration would probably be pretty busy trying to unwind a lot of Trump policies and executive orders, as, you know, Vice President Biden has already made clear that he intends to do. So all these things would have to happen for there to be real tax changes that actually impact you and your financial planning and tax planning. And so it's not the case that, you know, starting the first day that a potential President Biden is inaugurated, would we expect there to be large tax changes already, you know, sort of imminently materializing. Obviously, if President Trump is reelected, there will probably be less change and greater stability in the tax code, because he already passed a big tax bill in late 2017, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, that went into effect in 2018. Okay, so the focus of today's discussion is really mostly around, if Biden wins, what are the major tax changes that, you know, you might expect in the coming years should a President Biden pursue tax changes pretty aggressively as part of his agenda? Okay, so change number one that Biden has proposed is to increase tax rates and get rid of deductions for high earners in particular. You may have heard on the campaign trail, he's been talking about he won't raise taxes on families that earn less than $400,000, but that sort of by implication means that he plans to for families earning above that. So his plan is to increase the top federal tax bracket for taxpayers earning above $400,000 up to 39.6%. Up from where they are today, 37%. He would also restore the pre-Tax Cuts and Jobs Act limit on itemized deductions for, again, for taxable income above $400,000. So if you made more than that, you wouldn't be able to take a bunch of the itemized deductions that you currently can. Interestingly, he would also impose the 12.4% Social Security payroll tax, which is split between employers and employees. He would impose that on income above $400,000. So right now, wages up to roughly $137,000 are subject to Social Security taxes, and that's half paid by the individual taxpayer and half paid by the employer. But above $137,000 currently, that tax goes away. So in the Biden proposal, that tax would still go away at $137,000 up to the point where you earn $400,000, and then it would come back and you would pay Social Security taxes at that rate on income above $400,000. So there'd be kind of a dip between 137 and 400, and then it would come back above $400,000. Lastly, Biden has proposed to repeal the 20% QBI, or qualified business income deduction, under Section 199A for taxpayers earning over $400,000. So that's quite a bit of changes for the higher earners. You know, higher tax rate, less deductions, less itemized deductions, new Social Security payroll tax on earnings above $400,000, and a repeal of the Section 199A deduction. Now, in terms of things that you can do in response, you know, most of this stuff is still at the proposal stage, so it's not, you know, necessarily the case that all of these changes would make it into a final tax bill that Biden prospectively passes. But the probably the most defensive thing that you can do is to include a healthy amount of tax diversification in your financial planning. And that just means investing in a mix of different accounts with different tax treatments. So have some of your assets in Roth accounts, have some of it in tax-deferred accounts like 401ks, have some of it in taxable accounts. And that just gives you more flexibility to manage your taxes effectively if rates are higher when you actually need to use the money, because then you can choose which account to draw from that is the most advantageous from a tax perspective in your case. Now, whether you should try to sort of capture some of the tax-free status quicker by converting, say, tax-deferred accounts to Roth accounts, really just depends on your individual situation, your marginal tax bracket, and your assessment of how, you know, potential Biden tax changes might impact your personal situation. So it's hard to give kind of generic advice on whether to do a Roth conversion. But the most defensible thing you can do, as I said, is to just keep a healthy balance of assets in different types of accounts with different types of tax treatment. Okay, the second change that Vice President Biden is proposing is to tax capital gains and qualified dividends for taxpayers who earn over $1 million. And to tax those capital gains and dividends at the same rate as ordinary income, rather than the current preferential capital gains tax rates. So currently, you know, as you know, long-term capital gains and qualified dividends are subject to a maximum capital gains tax rate of 20%. And actually, most taxpayers would pay 15%. You have to be kind of really be a high earner to be taxed at 20%. And if you are a high earner, there's also a 3.8% net investment income tax. So actually the sort of full tax rate can be up to 23.8%, but that's still, any way you look at it, it's still less than the marginal ordinary income tax rate for a high earner. Under Biden's proposed changes, households earning over $1 million would pay the top marginal tax rate of 39.6% on their investment income, like capital gains and qualified dividends. And they would also still pay the existing 3.8% net investment income tax. So that means that on capital gains and dividends, you could be paying, you know, taxes as high as 43.4%. So that's quite a bit more than the current 20 or 23.8%. It's almost 20 percentage points higher. So this change is generally going to affect fewer people than the marginal ordinary tax rate increase that I mentioned earlier, the one that can go up to 39.6% if you're earning more than $400,000. But if you're a high net worth investor who earns more than $1 million per year and you generate a lot of income through investments, then the impact on you will be a lot larger. So in terms of like things that you can do, moves that you can make, or actions that you can take, if you are earning more than $1 million, it could make sense to sell some of your assets before rates go up to realize, you know, your capital gains at the current tax rates, in case the Biden proposal is actually implemented on this front. Obviously, your focus for your investment should still first and foremost be on your underlying investment thesis for the asset and making your investing decisions based on that rather than based on tax reasons alone, because increasing the capital gains tax rate is by no means a sure thing, even if Biden is elected. You know, this is all going to be negotiated. These are all just proposals. It's going to depend on the political composition of Congress and the White House, obviously. It may be that any particular proposed tax provision like this one might not be included in a final tax bill if there is a final tax bill that gets passed into legislation. So if you were planning to sell investments anyway but you're just trying to think through, say, optimal timing, and you were earning more than $1 million a year, then knowing that tax changes that impact your capital gains might be coming could be a good reason to pull forward your decision to sell, to lock in that existing capital gains tax rate. But potential tax changes that impact capital gains rates should, you know, probably only be a major consideration in your selling decision if the decision is otherwise already pretty close, like you're already thinking about selling. It shouldn't be the primary driver, even though the rates might increase significantly. Okay, the third change that Vice President Biden is proposing is to eliminate the step-up in tax basis for assets at death. So under current tax law, your taxable assets generally get a step-up in basis at your death when your heirs and beneficiaries inherit them, as long as you're under the estate tax thresholds, which almost everyone is. That's nearly $12 million right now, or half that amount under a Biden estate tax plan, which proposes to revert the estate tax limits back to their historical norms of a bit under $6 million. So that means that as long as you didn't realize the investment, then any appreciation during your lifetime would be passed to your beneficiaries tax-free. Now, under Biden's tax proposal, the step-up in basis could be eliminated. And what's a little bit concerning about it is that this elimination of stepped-up basis isn't proposed to only apply when your estate exceeds the estate tax exemption threshold, whether that's $12 million or $6 million in the future. It would just apply to everybody. So that means heirs would inherit the decedent's tax basis at death and then pay capital gains taxes upon selling the asset. Now, Biden has previously said, you know, pretty clearly that he doesn't want to increase taxes on the middle class. He only wants to do it on higher earning taxpayers. So it's not clear how this proposal would square with that, because presumably it would apply to the middle class too, not just high net worth estates. In terms of things that you can do proactively in your tax planning, since it's not really clear how this one might affect you, for most investors, probably the best course of action is just to do nothing for now. However, if you are a high net worth individual and you do have a lot of assets, then you potentially might want to think about utilizing your lifetime gift tax exemption, which is the same threshold as the estate tax exemption. Currently, it's about $12 million, by making direct gifts to your beneficiaries right now, or by setting up things like generation skipping trusts. You know, you can fill up your lifetime exemption pretty easily before any potential tax changes on this front come down the pike. If Biden is elected, just make sure that you have enough assets remaining for your own lifetime spending needs. And also make sure you're transferring assets that have the most sort of advantageous tax profile. So that means where you'll get the biggest tax basis step up and therefore avoid the largest possible tax liability. So you'd want to gift assets that have a very, very low basis that have appreciated a lot so that you can sort of wipe those tax liabilities off the table right now. Otherwise, again, just having tax diversification in terms of a balance of assets in different types of accounts, taxable, tax-deferred, and tax-free accounts, will help you retain optionality of choice when it comes to planning your retirement spending withdrawals in a state transfer plan, no matter what happens with the step-up in basis benefit that currently exists. Okay, change number four that Biden is proposing is to replace retirement account contribution deductions with a refundable credit. So today, if you save for retirement in a 401k or an IRA, you get a tax deduction for the contribution, and that saves you taxes up front at your marginal tax rate. But of course, you'll pay that back when you withdraw from your 401k. So, you know, whether it was a good move or not will also depend on your tax rate when you withdraw. The Biden tax plan proposes to get rid of the tax deduction for retirement account contributions, and instead, everyone would get the same percentage tax break via a tax credit equal to roughly 26% of the contribution. So this change would alter retirement contribution strategies for different groups differently. A low earner who contributes to a Roth account right now might prefer a 26% tax credit from contributing to a traditional pre-tax, you know, account under this plan. So they might switch from contributing to a Roth to, say, a 401k or an IRA. But a taxpayer in the the current 32% or higher tax bracket might want to switch from a traditional tax contribution to a Roth contribution, unless they expect to be in a lower than 26% income bracket during their retirement. And that's because they would no longer be saving at their marginal rate. They would be saving at a potentially lower 26% rate when they make a pre-tax contribution. So they might just think, well, if my future withdrawal tax bracket, I expect to be, you know, the same or higher as 26%, then I might as well just make the Roth contribution now and get those tax withdrawals tax-free in the future, because the benefit of contributing now is just lesser. So there's no real action that you can take on this one in the near term, because it's not like you can sort of accelerate retirement account contributions faster, but it's just be prepared to think through your strategy if it becomes law. Okay, the fifth potential change that Biden is proposing is to eliminate the 1031 exchange for high earners who are real estate investors. The Biden plan would eliminate the 1031 exchange for real estate investors making over $400,000 in income. And as you probably know, 1031 exchanges let taxpayers defer taxes on capital gains if they use those gains to reinvest in new property. It doesn't eliminate the tax liability, just defers it until you actually sell sell your real estate holdings, as opposed to exchanging them for like-kind real estate holdings. The 1031 provides an incentive to invest capital in real estate assets and in real estate redevelopment and things like that. And when combined with other programs like Opportunity Zones, it can really stimulate capital investment in cities and communities that are hard for the government to do. Anyway, that's like sort of the policy justification for why it exists. Taking this away would be a very big change for real estate investors, because it's a major lever that real estate investors use for tax planning. All right, in terms of what you can do about it, repeals of the 1031 exchange have been proposed before with obvious pushback from the real estate investment lobby. They haven't succeeded yet because the provision is so popular with real estate investors and professionals. And there's no reason yet to think that a Biden proposal in particular can break through and overcome that. But it's something to keep an eye on. And if it does come to pass, then you might see a flurry of activity as real estate investors who were thinking about selling suddenly accelerate their plans to trade into longer term real estate properties to lock in a low basis before a 1031 exchange repeal goes into effect. All right, the last change that I wanted to highlight under Biden's tax proposal is a potential increase in the corporate tax rate. So here, Biden is proposing to raise the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. Now, remember, it used to be 35% in the Obama administration. In terms of IRS revenue, this change would have a much larger effect on overall tax revenues than individual personal income tax changes that, you know, we covered earlier. And it doesn't directly impact your personal finances in terms of like individual tax planning, but it might impact your investment decisions, because obviously increasing the tax rate on corporate earnings by a third like this would probably have a material impact on stock prices, although different industries might be affected to different degrees. So that's something that you might want to consider as you think about, you know, where you invest your money and how you allocate your assets into different asset classes. So those are the major changes that I wanted to cover. Again, to recap, increasing tax rates and getting rid of deductions on high earners who earn more than $400,000 a year, taxing capital gains and qualified dividends for taxpayers earning more than $1 million at ordinary income rates rather than capital gains rates, eliminating the step up in tax basis for assets at death, replacing retirement account contribution deductions with a tax credit instead, eliminating the 1031 exchange for high-earning real estate investors, and increasing the corporate tax rate.
All right, that's a wrap.
If you like this episode, please hit that subscribe button to get new episodes automatically sent to you. Would love for you to not miss any episodes, because the Hack Your World podcast has a mix of action-packed solo shows where I walk you through specific strategies and tactics step-by-step, as well as guests who share their expertise about specific areas of personal finance, and finally, profile interviews of business owners who are trying to turn their side hustles into fully financially self-sustaining passive income streams. We break down exactly what they do, how they do it, and how much they're earning. So be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any of that great content. Also, would love if you could help me out and take 30 seconds to go to Apple Podcasts and leave a podcast review. It helps to support this podcast and it helps other people who are looking for topics like this find the podcast. And I really appreciate it if you could take a minute and just leave an honest review. All right, that's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Hack Your Wealth podcast with Andrew Chen. If you like the show, please leave us a review on iTunes and check out hackyourwealth.com for all our latest content.